Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts that rhymes with UFC 200.
Yeah, that's going to be it this week, right? You're not going to try to sneak some dumb Bellator news in later?
You always do? No.
Just so you know, Jimmy Smigurdy might be fighting for the lightweight title if he gets through something this weekend.
BT-dub, guys. That's not what we're doing at all. So, no.
Okay. What was that noise?
I don't have any idea.
Okay, all right.
Okay. So anyway, UFC 200 is this weekend.
That's UFC 200, Matt, that we're trying to talk about Bellator in the middle of their segment.
That is UFC 200. It is Saturday night. You, of course, get three nights of fights that I know you're super excited about.
It's sentient at this point.
Yes, it's so big, it's sentient. I'll put that in the show notes so you don't have to look that up.
There you go.
So, yeah, you get Thursday night, you get Friday night, and you get Saturday night. So you will have five title shots in totality. Three of them will occur on Saturday night. Two of them are essentially for odd interim. Well, one of them's for the conversion of the interim belt to the real belt. And then one of them.
Why are you even going through Brock? Brock is Saturday.
Okay, sorry.
Brock is Saturday.
Okay, fine. Brock is Saturday.
Brock is Saturday.
That's all we're talking
Google
about.
Google UFC 200 and then see what shows up.
Okay, hang on.
It's 800 stories UFC about Brock. 200. I'm telling you already. What's the first picture that shows up?
Brock Lesnar details his relationship with Vince McMahon.
And what's the picture?
Brock Lesnar knocking out The Undertaker.
That's hilarious. Yes. For UFC 200.
Yes.
That's where we are. That's where we are, ladies and gentlemen.
So what?
So interim titles, RDA, who DA, what DA, who cares DA? Everybody's talking about Brock.
So, okay, everybody's talking about Brock. This is clearly the draw. We will talk to Sage Northcutt today. I could not get him to bite on which fight he was super excited about. That's the one thing. As much as
Because it's Brock.
Well,
and he just doesn't want to admit it and has to go back in the locker room.
As much as I love having him on, he wants to make everybody happy, so he's not going to pick. So he just wants. I think he's a John Jones fan.
If you have to pick somebody, wouldn't you pick Brock, though, to make happy?
Are you being paid by the Brock?
No,
like,
I'm just saying
Brock Lesnar?
I'm saying if you make anybody mad in that locker room, the last person I think would be Brock.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Especially if you're Sage. What's he fight at?
155.
Oh, wow.
You would know that by the amount of tweets that Kevin Lee screams at how he's going
to
fight.
Oh, that's right. Kevin Lee wants him. Kevin Lee's down for fight week, too. He's one of the featured Fight Pass fights, I believe, this week.
He is, and he's still vying for, I think, hurting Enrique Marin, so he can just take over that fight and fight Sage Northcutt.
We'll see what happens there. But back to Brock.
Yes, back to Brock. So, your thoughts as we are now days away from what's going to happen?
Well, it's gotten really interesting in the past couple days, not because of anything really that's happened, but because of the talk of whether or not Brock is going to shut the door on this. Because initially, what we heard is Brock, hey, I'm back for one shot. The diverticulitis, those things took away my opportunity. I really feel like I left with a bad taste in my mouth. I did the right thing for my family and for my livelihood. But, you know, I don't feel like I had the best time in UFC that I could have had because of where my health was at that time. And now, in this past week, we're hearing more and more that Brock's not necessarily ruling out another fight in the UFC. Basically, he told reporters that he doesn't have anything to do with what Stephanie McMahon says about what he does. He essentially doesn't care what she thinks. And again, she's just essentially saying they're not promoting this fight as such, but they believe allowing their superstars to pursue other opportunities is always good for the WWE. Brock responds, I don't care what she thinks. So you've got to wonder if Brock doesn't have this in the back of his mind that, hey, if this goes well, if I do well, if I feel like I've got something in there, are we talking about the fact that we could see a guy who fights maybe once every 8 to 12 months at this point? If things go well for Brock, things are going to go really well for WWE at SummerSlam, and you would have to look at this situation.
Dude, can you imagine?
It's going to go very well for them. Either way, it's going to go very well.
Yeah, but I mean, if he
somehow beats Mark Hunt.
This is going to sound odd for me, but much like the wrestling I'm having with the Conor McGregor Nate Diaz fight and how I'm waffling back and forth and how I really feel like the belief in yourself is such an X factor that it's hard to go got beat by Nate Diaz in a round and a half. With Nate in shape, this is a 10-second fight. I can't get there with that. In the same way that I don't know that you can necessarily count out a guy like Brock Lesnar, just go, if in some way he can beat Mark Hunt.
I mean, I think, do we talk about it in some way, or do we talk about it? He's got a lot of ways. He doesn't have the traditional wear you would expect on an athlete his age at this point. I mean, he's never been a guy that's been on the road for 20 years. So, I mean, you're seeing this with CM Punk right now. We're going
to
talk about that. He's not, for people that don't follow wrestling, these guys are traveling all year round. They're on buses. They're in rental cars. They're in planes. I mean, it's most guys that have done both of these things say it's 10 times harder to be on the road than to train for an MMA fight, because at least every night you're going back to your own bed. You've got your nutritionist. You've got everything figured out when you're training for fighting in MMA. Wrestlers don't have that. They tend to beat their bodies down. You see all these wrestlers who die prematurely. That was never Brock. Brock did it for a couple of years and said, no, I'm not going to do this. Almost made it into the NFL, did a couple other things, and decided to become an MMA fighter, and eventually ended up the UFC heavyweight champion of the world. Since he's been back in WWE, he's not been on that travel schedule. He essentially has 20 to 30 times a year he has to work for them, and he travels how he wants, when he wants. So what you have to look at in this case is, yeah, Brock's, what, 38 right now?
Yes.
I believe he's 38. He's not what you would consider a typical 40-year-old fighter in regards to what kind of shape he's in. He also hasn't been a guy who's necessarily been fighting his whole life. Now, he's a guy that's wrestled much of his life, from the amateurs, obviously, into D1 and winning the championships that he's won. But again, that's a little different than getting hit in the head a lot. That's a little different than getting a bone broken or something else happening in jiu-jitsu. So you've got a guy who, if everything that is being said is true, is not as old as he actually is athletically. And then this division, out of all of them, you can get away with that. In the heavyweight division, you can get away with that. Other divisions, you're still going to be old. In this division, if you're not necessarily...
He's talking to you, CM Punk.
Aging in the same way. Yeah, CM Punk's not going to get away with it. But if you're... And CM Punk had that road grind. I mean, he was an indie wrestler and all those things.
Oh, yeah.
Brock never had that. Brock came up as an athlete, joined WWE for a little while, said, not my thing, really. Still was able to become a huge superstar. Still was able to become the UFC heavyweight champion. So everybody's saying if somehow Brock wins, I think there's a lot of ways for Brock to win, just as there are a lot of ways for Mark Hunt to win. This is a fight. A fight is a fight, and this is a fight. So it'll be very interesting to see how it goes. Of course, if Mark Hunt walks in, starts landing leg kicks, and lands a couple of punches to the head, this fight's over. But is that what Brock's going to want to let him do? Is Brock going to go in for the quick takedown? Is it going to be easy? No. Mark Hunt's been fighting all of his life. But to see how dismissive it seems like a lot of people have been in this fight, it's been kind of entertaining to watch online, especially since we talked about it for the past couple weeks on the show. Especially since when this was initially announced and we had that 2 to 3 day window, everybody thought we were going to see some fighter nobody had even heard of before.
Right.
And we get Mark Hunt. Right. So those people that want to complain about the fact that Brock wasn't fighting anybody before we even knew who he was fighting are now complaining and saying, hey, well, Mark Hunt's a little old, but he'll still knock him out. He can't take him down. I just think the dismissiveness is something you don't traditionally see for somebody with the skill set of Brock Lesnar, and a lot of that has to do with what some people would consider WWE baggage. He's main eventing this event. He's pulling the dollars for this event, and I've said it before, that's truly amazing considering you've got Cormier defending against Jon Jones on this card. Pretty much the fight we've all wanted to see for the past year and a half.
Yes, but I think from a marketing perspective, you have seen that your boy Cormier, he does not pull the pay-per-view numbers in the same way that, like, if we look at this week, RDA doesn't pull the numbers. So RDA is going to end up on Thursday night on Fight Pass fighting Eddie Alvarez, which is amazing if you're a Fight Pass subscriber. However, it's not where the dollars are.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Claudia Gadelha and Johanna Jędrzejczyk, who will be Friday night on Fox Sports 1 with the Tough finale, also not pulling in the dollars. That's not to say that those two are compared to Jones and Cormier, but Cormier has traditionally not really pulled in the numbers that they thought of a light heavyweight champion. Even Jon Jones has been outpulled by McGregor, outpulled by Ronda, certainly outpulled by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, but that, but he's been their go-to guy since probably Anderson Silva. So I think the draw would have been here. This is, again,
like this?
No, not like this.
Okay.
But everybody was freaking out when we lost McGregor and Nate Diaz. I think we would have been on par with that. This thing is just really
I totally disagree.
You don't think so?
I really feel like it would have been good. This would have been exciting. I would guess if that had happened, if you lost McGregor and Diaz like we did, and you couldn't pull together this Brock Lesnar thing, my guess would be RDA and Alvarez would have been morphed into this card. But mm-hmm. I really do feel that Diaz, McGregor, and Brock Mark Hunt is a notch up above what this would be without them.
I think you're right. I don't think that would have been necessary. I think you're just.
I don't think it would be necessary, but I'm not going to tell you that the draw would have been the same.
I think you would have been surprised.
How dare you?
Cormier and Jones, I think, you know, because what we would have lost out of some of this, we've gained. Overall, we've gained. But what we've lost out of all of this...
As a society.
We've gained. In the card, in the pay-per-view buy rates, you've got a net gain. But what we did lose in this discussion is a month of us probably talking about how much John Jones and Daniel Cormier would probably actually want to kill each other during this fight, which has been ramped up over the past couple weeks. Like, if somebody, remember the old school when you were a little kid and you watched, like, no holds barred WWE matches and you go, why didn't he just bring a knife in? Like, if one of those dudes could bring a knife in,
right.
They seem to hate each other that much that maybe they just bring a knife in. I don't know. The ref better really check them. Like, when they do that thing we all think is superfluous at the beginning of the fight where they're, like, patting them down for something. Like, these guys, like, no, for real, do it. Like, do it like the TSA does your kids when you try to fly on a plane.
Right.
That's what the refs need to be doing. So this fight has a lot of hatred, a lot of emotion behind it. It's obviously a rematch. It's a champion trying to come back and get his belt. That story is always amazing. So I really think this is on par what we would have seen if McGregor Diaz would have been the other headline. So what we lost by gaining Brock is a lot of that discussion and a lot of that buildup, which I think would have helped this pay-per-view card. Still, for fight fans, the fight is there. These guys still hate each other, and it's still going to be a great fight, and I still don't know who I'm going to pick in this fight at this point.
Yeah, I don't either. I will probably pick on Saturday just because I'm the same way. I'm waffling back and forth. I was watching the embedded, and the one thing that stood out to me as the pretty obvious X factor is the issue of weight. That John Jones steps on the scale on Friday at 211.5 pounds
mm-hmm.
with a week to go. So, like, right on point.
But Cormier, as much as Cormier's bitched about it, and I know I think I know where you're going, is every time you see Cormier on Embedded, it looks like he's going to die. But he's never had a problem with the weight cut. He bitches about it a lot. He doesn't like it, but he's never had a problem with it, and he's always been a professional.
I'm not saying... No.
I know you're not saying he's not going to make weight.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not going to miss. I'm just saying, you know, and maybe this fight will be different in the fact that it'll be an early weigh-in, and that might help out because he'll have a whole day and a half to get back into.
Oh, are we doing that again?
Yes, that's
okay.
Nevada sign. That's a new. Everybody's doing it now.
Okay,
so which is awesome. So that might be, to me, that might be really helpful for a guy like Daniel Cormier, where this cut is pretty tough for him. I still feel like that's a thing that can't go unnoticed. Now, all the other X factors you want to talk about, how terrible John Jones looked against OSP, how Daniel Cormier obviously has been more busy than John Jones when John has been dealing with the long arm of the law.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things, I think, have their own merits in this discussion. But I really feel that cardio is not going to be an issue for John Jones and might be an issue for DC, and that can be a problem in round four and round five.
See, I don't think cardio is going to be an issue here. We saw him go five with John before, but
we're talking about a game of, I'm not talking about he's going to look like he's gassed. We're talking about a game of inches between these two.
No, you're right. I think if anything, what you talked about with the early weigh-in is going to help Daniel Cormier in this instance.
Sure,
it's always going to help the bigger guy at this point. Bigger guys always had an advantage, but that little thing that negated that was the fact that, well, you've got to make the cut. I don't care how big you are. You've got to make the cut, and then we're fighting the next day. And, yes, it's only 6, 7, 8 hours, but that's 6, 7, 8 hours of hydration that nobody had before.
Well, and because
water's your last cut.
And you get to do it slower at that point. If you add 8 hours in, you don't have to drench your body. You know, with a lack of an IV, you've got to do it in some other way. But with an extra 8 hours, you can hydrate properly and get back into, you know, it, this is great for the sport on many levels. The other thing that I thought was interesting, which is a
do you think John's cardio was there? Because I didn't think his cardio was there in that fight against JDS.
But here's what I'm going to... OSP, you mean?
Oh, OSP, yeah.
Because I'm down with... is JDS, that, if that's happening, I'm down with whatever that is.
We'll do that, yeah. Why do we have so many three-lettered guys?
So what I thought was interesting is his cardio looked off in OSP, but if you look at what he looks like right now heading into fight week, we're in the middle of fight week at this point.
What are you looking at? Like when he's in the gym? Like hanging out, like, well, you're judging his cardio from that.
No, you're.
I'm usually the insane person that tries to judge things off random internet tweets. I'm actually referring to a fight. And what are you looking at?
If you look at the lead up to the OSP fight, he was doing all of that powerlifting and he looked ginormous.
Okay,
his cardio looked like shit.
I'll give you some of that.
Right now he looks a little bit leaner. He's moving around a lot better, and I think they really did take into account that, like, the powerlifting thing was fun, dude, but it doesn't work for what we're doing. So let's stop doing that and do actual things that help in a fight. So he looks a lot leaner to me than he did in the OSP fight, and that's what I mean by his cardio being a little bit better than Cormier in the long haul. And guys, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you and I with the naked eye are going to notice this, but this will be, like I said, a game of inches. In round four and round five, if somebody's landing two or three more punches, that might win a round.
Oh, of course. But in this game of inches, too, you have to look and see where they're starting from. And it's so dramatically different to see where John was starting from if you go back to OSP to when he fought Daniel Cormier the first time.
Sure.
Those starting points, his blocks are a quarter away around the track at this point. That's where his starting blocks are compared to last time. So, yeah, maybe he's adjusted things. Maybe he's been able to kind of find his rhythm there. And John Jones was always a guy very much like GSP. For a long time, we would see this. And then Anderson Silva was the guy who really kind of took it to the next level, where you'd see these dudes play with a lot of different things in training that you didn't necessarily expect them to be doing as they got ready for a championship fight. And John was one of those dudes. He loved watching the Anderson Silva stuff, seeing, you know, the B Water type of stuff. And, oh, I'm going to do this time. I'm going to do this time. And one of those things maybe John got enamored with was weightlifting. And he did it before he had the trouble. But in that regard, he's still actively fighting. He's in much better, quote-unquote, fight shape than he is in this fight against OSP. So that might have been one of those things. Hey, let's reset. Let's get back to basics. You're a fighter. Let's do things that fighters do, not do things that world champions that are outclassing their opponents left and right would try to do to up their game, quote-unquote. And let's still remember, this was a 5-round fight with Daniel Cormier. Other than that fight with Gustafsson, John Jones has never looked worse up until OSP. So let's, again, that wasn't necessarily terrible.
Yeah, and we're negating the one thing that we've been talking about leading up to this fight on the week that we're talking about the fight, which is that this is the very first rematch in John Jones' career.
Mm-hmm. So does he figure somebody out, or does somebody figure him out?
Or vice versa, right? Because...
Cormier has taken some losses, so I should say the loss against John Jones. So, John Jones wouldn't necessarily go in and be able to quote-unquote figure that out. I think we talked about it 2 weeks ago on the show, though. The thing that still surprises everybody is John's strength. This is the first time somebody's going to go in and know how strong John Jones is.
Yes. It,
almost without fail, if you go back and watch every opponent of John Jones after their fights, man, he's so strong. Man, he's so strong. Again, I get the fact that it's different when you're in there, but you feel like somebody in the fight community would just relay the message like, no, really, you're going to go in there. He's really strong.
And I think the only person that didn't say that out loud, maybe they thought it, but they didn't say it out loud, was Gustafsson.
Mm-hmm.
Gustafsson just said, I thought I won that fight. That mm-hmm. was the extent of his post-fight interview.
I think, though, if you'd go back to even the post-fight, I don't know if it was the scrum or maybe one of the UFC post-fight fight night deals, I think he gave him credit for being a strong fighter. He still thought he won the fight, though. And there was a lot of back
but
and forth on that,
like,
at the time.
But he didn't do, like, what Cormier did or Chael Sonnen
oh,
did.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like,
oh, my God.
Jesus. He's totally strong.
Are you kidding me?
What's going on?
Yeah. So, I mean, and you got to expect John Jones is going to be a strong guy. I mean, his brother's in the NFL. I mean, those guys probably whoop on each other all the time. So you got to be strong enough to put up with that. And it's going to be interesting to see a guy go in. And Daniel Cormier goes into this fight knowing exactly how strong John Jones is. And he gets to go in there with that 2020 hindsight, so to speak, and see if he can put together a game plan that's different. Is he different? Is he counting on John being the guy he was with OSP? We find out Saturday night.
Also on this card, we get Misha Tate taking on Amanda Nunes. That is the third fight on the card, so it's going to be Cormier, Jones, Lesnar, Hunt, Tate, Nunes, which to me is a fascinating fight. We've waited almost not... not quite as long, but almost as long as we waited for Miesha Tate to get her title shot back, Amanda Nunes has been knocking on the door for nearly as long. So this is a fascinating fight, and I know that you said it at the time it was signed and probably would say it today. Big props to Miesha Tate for taking this fight.
Yes.
And not waiting for Holly or waiting for Ronda, but taking the person who's next.
Well, Holly wanted the fight. But putting Ronda next to Holly like that, I don't think is really fair to Holly.
I'm not trying to knock Holly, but
Sure.
Okay. They offered a fight to Holly that she did not want to take, therefore doesn't get to pick this one.
Which one did she want?
They wanted her to fight Cyborg.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I don't think she should. Okay, well, we'll get into that
later.
Doesn't
matter, but this is why she's not on this card.
No,
right?
I understand. Like, that's what... But even if she didn't want to fight Cyborg, that's still not putting her in Ronda's camp of where the hell is she now? She's hanging out next to a dude wearing a red and white striped shirt and hat.
Yes.
In the middle of a crowd. Like, where's Ronda?
This is good. Long story short, this is going to be a very exciting fight for Miesha Tate and certainly for Amanda Nunes. I like Tate's chances in this one, although Nunes is a serial killer, and I think standing up, this might be problematic. I would say probably more problematic than Holly Holm was, because Amanda Nunes can knock you out standing up.
Well, the interesting thing though about Miesha Tate is she's gotten to this point having to basically keep trying to fight Ronda Rousey. So the thing we never really got to see a ton of was the fact that she would try to be aggressive in taking somebody to the ground until the last fight. When she was taking on Holly Holm, because, I mean, if you keep fighting Ronda, you don't want to take Ronda to the ground.
Right.
You got to have a ground game when you're down there. You got to figure things out and try to, you know, get your position back. But you don't necessarily do that. And we've seen her ground game just really, really improve over the past, you know, 5 to 10 years we've been watching her. It feels like a long time we've been watching Miesha Tate. So this is a situation where she goes in, she gets on the ground. She's been on the ground with Ronda Rousey. To say she's held her own would probably be a slight exaggeration, but there's been instances where you thought Ronda was going to snap her arm off, and she was able to kind of squeal out of there once or twice.
Yes.
When you didn't necessarily think that was going to happen. Yes, she went on to lose those fights, but in that instance, you've got to consider her ground game to be a strength here against Amanda Nunes.
I would say for sure. And then, and of course, the rest of the card, like Ken was saying on Facebook, the rest of this card, guys, is incredible. The next fight is Aldo and Edgar for the interim championship at 145 that Conor McGregor refuses to defend. So you've got Aldo trying to come back, taking on Edgar, who's always a game opponent. He's this guy who's just been on, you know, in slot two forever, right? Any weight class he ends up in, he just sits at slot two.
And every time you expect like a guy to beat him and move along, he's always the fly in your ointment.
Yes.
Right there. He's just messing up your title plans, because what you want here is probably Jose Aldo to get a rematch against Conor McGregor. If you're the UFC, you can sell that. I think Frankie Conor is going to be good if we get that as well. I don't really mind either of these guys in that next fight. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how Jose Aldo comes off that loss. And Frankie Edgar is not a guy you want to come in off a loss and try to get a win back real quick, because you're not going to get it back real quick. You're going to have to train hard.
You're probably
going to have to outlast him a little bit inside that cage.
And you're not going to outlast Edgar. And if you look over Aldo's career, those rounds four and rounds five could be problematic for him, since he's one of those guys that cuts a ton of weight. Now, exactly what's going on with Daniel Cormier?
I mean, took Chad to five rounds.
Yeah, but like, you know, he can struggle from time to time because of how much.
Some people would have argued for a while Chad and Frankie were 1A, 1B. In that contendership.
Yes. So,
and probably the most alike out of a lot of these fighters that Jose's taken on, too.
1,000%. What I was saying, though, is having the early weigh-in is a bonus to Aldo over Edgar, who walks around at, what, 8 pounds over, right? Aldo's going to be a monster on Saturday night, which could be good for him in the early rounds, and again, could be that game of inches as it gets later. The kickoff to the main card is Cain Velasquez taking on Travis Brown. I hope Cain Velasquez brought his goggles so he doesn't get his eyes gouged out like Mitrione did in the last Travis Brown.
Wow. That's not like John Jones gouging. It was just...
It was worse than John Jones. He went to the hospital.
Yes, but I mean, I'm looking more at intent than actual impact.
Okay.
You don't think he was trying to poke his eyes out, do you?
I mean... Okay.
All right.
All right, then.
Like John Jones, though? Like, even if he was trying to poke his eyes out, he'd probably have to do it a lot
more blatantly.
Let's remember,
like, for as much as we've loved this guy coming up, he is the guy who modified the elbow to the dome rules to suit his ability to knock you out from this prone position. So it's not like he's not looking for ways to...
Well, he didn't modify the rules. They modified the rules because of him.
Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
Well, okay, but technically right is the best kind of right. So, there you go.
That's our new Way of the Warrior shirt. Technically right is the best kind of right.
So, I mean, that's why I always hate the refs that yell at people for putting their arm on the mat. Like, all right. Shut up. That's not in the rules.
So let's talk about Bellator.
Just because you're mad at him about it. Yeah, right. Let's go real quick. I know you want to get probably to the undercard.
Well, yeah, because it's still crazy. Like, goes on and on and on.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's go ahead.
I want to do this last. So.
Okay. So the prelims on Fox Sports 1, you get Kat Zingano and Juliana Pena. You get Johnny Hendricks against Kelvin Gastelum. You get TJ Dillashaw against Asun Sao. You get Sage Northcutt, who will join us in a minute, against Enrique Martin.
Why doesn't Enrique Martin have a T in his name?
I don't know.
It's got a little, what is that, an umlaut?
The tilde, I think, is what that's called.
Is that
in
what
Spanish?
Makes it a T? I'm not sure. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
He does not have a Wikipedia page. He's fought once in the UFC in 2015, so this is an interesting setup for Sage
Northcutt.
Lee's
got to be super pissed. Lee's going to be tweeting like crazy during this fight, especially if he comes off a win this week on, I believe he's on Friday night, Thursday?
Is he on Thursday?
He's one of the Fight Pass featured, so.
So anyway, on Fight Pass, on Saturday, you get this amazing
fight.
This
is crazy for Fight Pass.
Amazing fight. Diego Sanchez and Joe Lozon and Jim Miller and Takanori Gomi, as well as Musasi and Santos.
I was
going to
say, you're forgetting Musasi, who I love, because he always comes in like the Terminator. Now, you never know which Terminator you're going to get, but he just kind of comes in and does his job, and he's taking on Thiago Santos there. So
yeah, those three fights are just insane. So look for those. And like Kenneth said, this is probably the best card you're ever going to see on a week that you get a ton of fights to check out. On Thursday night, you will have RDA and Eddie Alvarez. You will also get Roy Nelson and Lewis. That is not the card that has Kevin Lee on it. That will be Friday night, which will be...
He will be the Fight Pass card.
He will be the Fight Pass
card.
For
the FS1 Ultimate Fighter finale?
Yes, I'm going to it right now.
So that is going to be...
So you get
Johanna Jędrzejczyk.
Yes, you get the tough finale, obviously, and you will get Johanna Jędrzejczyk taking on Claudia Gadelha. The story there, if you're not paying attention, is they fought once to a very close decision that Claudia felt that she won. Johanna obviously won and became the champion. So here you've got a little bit of a grudge match, and there's been the lead.
If you haven't watched the show, by the way, it's like Real Housewives of Atlanta in there.
Oh boy.
Johanna Jędrzejczyk is just like playing up to every stereotype of like a catty, bitchy woman you could ever want.
And then complaining about the way that it's been edited.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's amazing. So it's the Real Housewives fighting.
Taking
each other on Friday night.
And on this card, again, you've got, I mean, Gray Maynard's on this card. Kevin Lee's on this card. You've got John Moraga on this card. You've got Ross Pearson. And Will Brooks is on this card, who makes his debut coming over from an organization I'm not allowed to talk about because Ken said I can't say the name.
No.
So he will make his debut
on... Is it World Series of Fighting?
It is not World Series.
It's not World Series of Fighting.
It rhymes with Ellator.
Is it M1? Is M1 finally getting the invasion going?
Will Brooks makes his debut on Fox Sports 1 on Friday night. So just a ton of action this weekend. And we will cover all of it on Facebook and Twitter by searching WOW Show. What did you want to get to?
This doesn't have to be official, but
before we get to Sage.
I feel like we can't go through this without doing quick picks. Just gut reaction. I'm going to go through the fights.
Yeah, totally.
Let's start.
And then after this, we'll go to Sage Northcutt.
Let's start at the top. Cormier, John Jones.
Jones.
Cormier.
Okay.
Brock, Mark Hunt.
Hunt.
Brock. Misha Tate, Amanda Nunez.
Misha.
Jose Aldo, Frankie Edgar.
Edgar.
Jose.
Okay.
Cain Velasquez, Travis Brown.
I don't know that I can. My gut would say Travis.
Cain.
Okay.
So other than Misha Tate, we picked entirely different, the entire card.
We did.
All right. We'll see who's right, I guess, Saturday.
We certainly
this one
will.
Won't even be close.
No.
We'll know like three fights in.
Yes.
Although we know the important ones.
Yeah, yes.
So,
all right. We will talk
Brock.
We'll talk to Sage Northcutt right now. Sage is on the line. And Sage, before we start, I just want to say that I really, really feel that the sport of MMA needs more people like you in it.
That's super nice. Thank you very much.
Well, you read all every time you fight, it's like the same, and I'm sure you're going to do this for the next hour where you talk to all of these guys in radio. It's like the same car wash, right? They ask you the same questions about the same thing, about this guy thinks you've gotten too much too quickly, or this, you haven't deserved this, or you haven't deserved that. And I know that I'm supposed to be a little bit more journalistic when I talk to you, but I wanted to start by saying, look, I enjoy the hell out of the fact that you enjoy what you do and are having a good time. And I just think this sport could learn a lot about the way that you approach not only what you were doing before you were undefeated, but even how you're approaching the loss and rebuilding after the Barbarina fight. And I just want to say, as you head into this, which I can only imagine is an amazing week as we lead up to UFC 200, it is a pleasure to have you in the sport, and I wish more people were like you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
So, Sage, how is this going? I mean, you've had a difficult couple of months. You had your first loss, and then you've been dealing with MRSA. How are you feeling?
You know, now I feel great. I'm ready, and I'm excited for this event this Saturday for UFC 200. I'm over. I'm not sick anymore with MRSA. I don't have a staph infection, and I'm no longer sick with strep throat, so I'm all healed up from that.
Yeah, I mean, like, what a tough time for you, right? You're on this complete roll, and then you get a little bit sidetracked, but here you are, literally the biggest card in UFC history. You're taking on Enrique Marin. How are you feeling heading into this fight? You've been talking about the Barbarina fight and that you were ill, and you're in a different place right now. What does this fight feel like to you heading into Saturday night?
Yes, sir, you're right. My last fight with Barbarina, I was very ill, and I wasn't myself for sure, so I know I wasn't fighting like my normal self, and now looking at this fight, I'm ready and I'm excited. I'm pumped up, and UFC 200 is huge, so all the fights are going to be great.
So let's talk about that for a second, because you're one of the guys that seems to really enjoy what's happening around you. Which one of these fights are you most excited to check out after your fight's over?
You know, they're all great. I'm excited to see all of them. So hopefully after the fight, I can go back out there, sit in the audience, and watch the rest of the fights for the night, and that'll be awesome.
So, Sage, as you're preparing for this fight, I know a lot of people might not really know a lot about your opponent. Has it been difficult to kind of scout this out? I mean, he had one fight in 2015. He's been kind of not active. Is that difficult for you to prepare for, or do you guys prepare in a more holistic, like, martial arts way where you're just going to do the fight that you're going to do and adjust to the things that happen in the cage?
You know, I really never have a fight camp. So, for me, it's always, I guess, preparing myself to be better in every, I guess, technique, every little aspect I can make myself better for. So, obviously, if it's making my stand-up better, my grappling better, my wrestling better, whatever it might be, I'm always improving that instead of focusing on who I'm going to fight next or in the future, that I have this opponent that I'm going to fight, and making a game plan for that.
So you just said that you don't normally have a fight camp. So what is the lead up to a fight normally for you? If it's not the typical 8 weeks, we're fighting this guy, we need to work on left hooks and low kick. Like, what does it look like for you then leading up to a fight like this?
Right, exactly. So I'm always training super hard. So I'm always staying in shape year round, and I'm always trying to improve my technique. So obviously I'm very young and there's still things to learn for the grappling, for instance, or the wrestling, for instance. Things like that. Everybody can learn everything from little pieces here and there. So that's what I'm trying to just improve the fastest I can improve.
So at 20 years old, you've kind of had an exciting 24 months. And I know this might be hard for you to see as you scope this out, but I mean, there's really no reason you could not be in this sport for the next 12 or 15 years. What does that look like to you as you kind of look out? I mean, right now, your star is red hot, and I know people are focusing on Sage now, but I think a lot of people forget the fact that you're 20. You have plenty of time to figure this whole sport out. What does the career look like to you at this point now that you've gone from being on, you know, a 30-minute looking for a fight episode with Dana White to in the UFC to having success in the UFC to being on the biggest card in the history of the organization? That's a lot to manage in 24 months, but with some distance, what does it look like going out 10 years? Like, what would you like this career to look like?
You know, it's obviously a huge honor to be able to be fighting in the UFC and everything that you just mentioned. So I'm very honored to be able to do this. And I could see myself being the youngest world champion for the UFC, not even 10 to 15 years from now, but being the youngest in a few years, let's say, or before John Jones was the youngest. He is the youngest right now. He won it. 23 years old and 8 months, I believe. So obviously I'd like to do it before that. And I believe I can. And like you said, always, like the more the sport goes on, the more it evolves. And obviously people are always learning more and more. And I believe that I'm very young, so there's always time, kind of like what you said, more and more time for me to be able to learn more and get better.
And you just picked up your own personal Reebok sponsorship, so things are going really well for you. So you said you'd like to speed this up and you'd like to beat John Jones. So you've got essentially 2.5 years to be younger than John Jones was when he won the championship. Tell me about the next 2 years. What do you think that looks like for you?
You know, John Jones is awesome, and I can't wait to see him fight this weekend. So that's going to be awesome. And I see myself taking one fight at a time. So I have plenty of time. I'm only 20 years old, just turned 20 in March. So I have plenty of time, just taking one fight at a time and working my way there.
So, Sage, as people are starting to get to know you, right, you're doing the media stuff because, like I said, you're maybe one of the nicest human beings anyone's ever met, right? So people like to talk to you. Give me something that people don't normally know about you. What do you do when you're not training for this all the time? Like, what will you do Sunday morning after you win? What will be the first thing you'll do?
That's super nice. Thanks. You know, Sunday morning, I'm probably going to go eat a super nice breakfast, and I'm probably going to go to the convention center. So I'm going to go see Toyo, actually, and say hi to them and be there at the booth. But like on a normal daily basis, I guess, I'm at home. If I'm not training, I'm out fishing. I'm out riding go-karts, just kind of having fun outdoors.
Very cool. Sage Northcutt joining us. A huge fight this weekend, UFC 200. My friend, as I said, you are just a pleasure to talk to. I don't give a crap what most of the fighters in the UFC like to say when they talk trash about you. They are just trying to hook themselves to your star. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Cannot wait to talk to you after you get your hand raised on Saturday night. Be well, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thanks.
All right, there you go. Sage Northcutt. He's talking, fighting Enrique Marin this weekend, and you can catch everything on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.